This evening's reading is taken from Matthew 28 and can be found on page 1001 of the Church Bibles. That's Matthew 28, beginning to read at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A very long time ago, and I really mean a long time ago, I read a missionary's report. And he told the story, he was a missionary to China, he told the story of a Chinese man who had received a Bible. Now, in those days, Bibles were very scarce in China, and those that were available were in English, and they were the King James Version. So you've got the picture. After a few days of receiving a Bible, this young Christian man came running to the missionary very excitedly. And he said to the missionary, "You never told me that my name was in the Bible." Well, the missionary, rather surprised, simply said to him, "Show me." And the man opened the book at Matthew 28 and verses 16 to 20. And in verse 20, it says there in the King James Version, "And lo, I am with you always." What a joy for Mr. Lowe. Now, not many of us can actually find our names in the Bible. I don't know really how to express it, but both my names are in there, my Christian name and my surname. Now, there's no way that I could aspire to the great heights of Michael the Archangel. No way at all. But then, when the Apostle Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "You are God's field," in the context of planting and watering, I think I can just about fit in there. However, I would like you to go away tonight from this service into the new year with the same burning excitement as Mr. Lowe, of a personal recognition of God by his word and his enduring promise to be with you at all times. Amen. So this evening I want to base what I have to say on Matthew 28, and I want us to just take on board this amazing sentence: "And surely I am with you always." Doesn't that give you a little thrill? Like Mr. Lowe, when he realized or thought that his name was recorded in Holy Scripture. Brothers and sisters, the Lord says to you and me, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I want you to do something for me right now. Time of quiet. And I want you to reflect for a moment or two individually on what challenges might be in front of you for this new year. Okay. Now, the points that will come up on the screen now are purely in alphabetical order. That was the easiest way to do it. Employment. Maybe there's a huge question mark over your employment. And that's a huge thing in front of you. It happens to a lot of people, doesn't it? Maybe it's your family, and you're thinking about some rifts in the family, or you're thinking about some wandering away from the faith, some not having come to faith. Maybe it's in the area of finance, and you certainly wouldn't be alone in that in these days. Maybe it's the question of health. Not knowing what the prognosis might be. Not knowing the answer to a particular change in your body or your mind. Maybe it's to do with your home. We might immediately think of those people who, in fact, don't have a home, who sleep in cardboard cities and mattresses on pavements in shop doorways. Or maybe you've got a great concern about your home. Maybe it's the fabric. Maybe it's the actual home that you have now. You're afraid you might lose it. Why have I done all these things? Because I want us to be real this evening. Real. And come to know, like Mr. Lowe, that however difficult things might seem, the Lord is promising to be with us. Never to leave us or forsake us. In any of these areas, and probably multiples of areas that I haven't even mentioned, I want you to get hold of the truth that whatever, the Lord is with you. Can I do something amazing? Let's together say these words before the same Lord that we've just looked at the difficulties. Shall we say it together? All glory be to you, Lord. Praise to your name. Thank you, Lord. That's where Mr. Lowe got to. And I hope that you discover this evening something more about our amazing Lord. How foolish it would be for me to offer you a prosperity gospel, especially in the volatile and unpredictable age in which we are now living. I would be so foolish, wouldn't I? But what I can do, a little bit like Peter when he went to the beautiful gate, I don't have any cash, he said, but I have a person. And I'm in the same position. However difficult your present or your potential future in this new year, I have someone to present to you who will never let you down if you trust him. You see, I'm not offering you a religion. I'm offering you a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we learn that God was with his people overall. Everything about the Old Testament was the children of Israel. The large parts of the Old Testament. And it was that vast body of people. There were significant individuals, of course, but the whole purpose is for the children of Israel as a nation. And Moses, in his amazing sermon, which is the book of Deuteronomy, when he comes to chapter 30, he challenges the whole nation on the plains of Moab, before they cross over the River Jordan into the Promised Land. Make a choice. What will your choice be? Choose today who you will serve. I've set before you, says Moses, promises of God, life and prosperity. But the other side of the coin is quite dark and different. And Moses says, now choose life. But he's speaking to the whole company of the family of Israel. Sadly, the northern kingdom became embroiled in so many other influences, they became overrun by the Assyrians, never to return. The northern kingdom, Israel. Judah, of course, learnt some lessons from this, and they lasted quite a number of years afterwards in the land of promise. But eventually, they wandered from God. They made the wrong choices, and the Babylonians came in, and they took over the land, and they took the people away into captivity. And according to Jeremiah's prophecy, that was for 70 years. If we turn to Psalm 137, we read some amazing words that Boney M. put to music. Nobody remembers them, do you? By the rivers of... Well, that's Psalm 137. And the picture is the children of Israel are in captivity. They're by the rivers in Babylon, which are quite special. But they're not worshipping God. How can we worship God in a foreign land? And the worship leaders actually hung up their instruments. But there is a longing. There is a faint hope. A remnant is being touched by the Spirit of God, even in those dark days. And in due course, in the 70 years, Judah is restored to their land and some amazing people. And we can reel them off. There's Zerubbabel, whose job was to rebuild the temple. There's Ezra, whose job was to reteach the people the principles of God. And there's Nehemiah, who's building the walls of the city to make it safe and secure once more. Special people. But it's all to do with this massive family, the children of God. But in the New Testament, there's a change. In the New Testament, it's all about the individual. So that means it's about me, it's about you. And it doesn't really matter if we can find our name in the Bible. The New Testament particularly is all about individuals. Ones who are invited into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then to find fellowship and spiritual progress within the framework of the church, which is the body of Christ. And to recognize that overarching truth of being a wonderful member of that fantastic organism. Not an organization, an organism. And so the questions arise now. Are you included in this? Am I included in it? Yes, I can find my names in the Bible. You might not be able to. So are you included? Does your name appear somewhere in Scripture? I'd like to say it does in the writings of the Apostle John in chapter 3, in verse 16. He says, whoever believes. Can you find your name sitting in there? It might be spelt differently. Whoever believes. That's all, anybody, everybody. Whoever believes will have eternal life. And in verse 18 of the same chapter, we've got the same word again. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Wow. Remember, Jesus said to the early disciples as he walked the shores of Galilee, "Follow me." And they did. We sang that this morning, didn't we? Did. And they did. They followed Jesus. No questions. There was a charisma about Jesus that captured them. And these men followed him and became ministries themselves. There are a wide variety of people. I remember a very long time ago that God broke into the life of a very young man, me. And I can remember on the 31st of October 1956, in my bedroom, in a two-up, two-down terraced house, with my brother sleeping in the same room, I can remember the Spirit of God coming to me and convicting me of my sin. Had I been bad? Not particularly. But convicting me of my sin. And I wept loud, sobbing tears as the awesomeness of being a sinner dawned upon me. My brother never woke. My mum and dad in the other room, just across the landing, never woke. And then suddenly, halfway through, there was an almighty change. And I was shown by the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ had died upon the cross of Calvary for me. Now, I'd been in a church where that was preached every week. But suddenly it was mine. And like Mr. Lowe, it was as if a new chapter had been written for the Scripture. And I began to weep again, but this time it was tears of absolute joy as I realized that Jesus had paid the price to take away my sin. And by trusting in him, I had eternal life. And I had peace with God. And how grateful I am that I've never turned back from that. How grateful. God is good, isn't he? God is good. And I could keep you here all night with experiences of how God has entered my experience, given me direction, spoken to me about things that I knew nothing about, and probably a lot of other people around me didn't either. God doing his work. Now, maybe we should have a look, before we go any further, let's examine who it is who's calling us, who's saying to us, "I'm going to be with you always." Who is it? Well, it's the resurrected Jesus. In Matthew 28, the chapter that we've been reading, verses 11 to 15 are full of unbelief and downright lies. Religion of its day said, "We have to cover this up. We will pay you money to keep your mouths shut. And we will present fake news." No changes there, is there? "We will present the fake news that the disciples came, took his body away, and now they're impersonating him." But that isn't so, is it? It's the resurrected Jesus who is presented to us in this passage. Jesus said in verse 10 to the disciples, "Go to Galilee and I'll meet you there." And here in verse 16, he comes to the place where he had appointed to meet with the disciples. Jesus, who died, is alive. The resurrected Jesus. And the book of Revelation has an amazing couple of verses in chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and hell." The resurrected Jesus says. Now, if he has broken the power of death, died and risen again. Wow, that's the person who says, I'm going to be with you now and through the unfolding of this coming year, even to the end of the age. Well, what's his authority? If we read the passage very carefully, it says the Father, God the Father, has given all authority to Jesus, both in heaven and on earth. Jesus has the Father's authority. Now, authority in heaven, wow. And yet the same person has authority on earth. And if he says, I'm going to be with you unto the end of the age, we can trust him because he has been given the authority to carry that through. But then we mustn't miss that he has given an instruction. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, teaching them obedience to everything I've taught and commanded you. This speaks to me of continuous mission. I heard somebody pray this evening about this very thing, going and making disciples. And we just want to hold back, don't we? We don't realize that the simplicity of our faith can change the lives of people who've never walked through those doors. And they don't have to be in here. It'd be wonderful if they were, but they don't have to be. But what has to be is we have to listen to Jesus. And if we want to know the closest measure of his presence, we have to follow this instruction of making disciples of all nations. Do you know, there's a picture of it in John's Gospel. In John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, we read there that Andrew brought his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. And what a significant act that was. Who led the church, the early church? Simon Peter. You read the first 11 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and who's in the forefront of everything? Peter. We never know. We never know who we are talking to and who we're sharing our faith with. And if we read on again in the same chapter in verses 43 to 50, Philip brought Nathanael. So the principle that Jesus gives to make disciples, these men have already practiced it without knowing right at the beginning of their experience with Jesus. I don't need you to be a mathematician for a minute, but just listen to this. If we're between 250 and 300 people in our church on a relatively regular basis, if we only discipled one person in the next year, we would have the same problems of accommodation in this building that you had for the carol service at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Wouldn't that be something? But how simple is it? I mean, how hard is it to disciple one person in a whole year? Jesus said, that's what I want you to do. And he says to us, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Surely, that means there's no doubt. It's full assurance. The hymn writer said, blessed assurance. And to the end of the age means it's indefinite. There are no limits. He will never be exhausted. What a promise. I want you to take that with you through into the new year. I want you to get really excited that however black or dark passages you may go through, and I can't promise that that won't happen, but I want you to believe that Jesus is with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I hope you can see, yes, you can see, just about see those words, a gate. Now, a lady called Minnie Louise Haskins, who died in 1957, a very prominent lady of her day, wrote some poetry. And what we see on the screen now is a sort of an introduction to a poem called God Knows. It's a passage that King George VI used in his Christmas speech of 1939, just after war had broken out. And just in case you can't see the words, I tried to improve them, but you know, either the gate disappeared or... you know, you've been there, haven't you? But let me read them. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. Jesus said, I'll be with you. I'm with you. Why have I put your name up there? I want to embed everything that we've just mentioned this evening. I want you to raise your hand as if you were holding on to the hand of God and feeling the hand of God. Will you do that for me? Feeling the hand of God, the presence of God, touching his hand. And will you give him your name? Wherever you are, Michael, let me hear your name as you take the hand of God. Would you like to say it out loud? Wherever. Yes. Lord, you are with me. Praise your name. Whatever comes, whatever may happen, blessings and challenges, I'm putting my hand in your hand because you promised that you would be with me always. Amen.